Welcome to the Divine Office Podcast. I'm so grateful for the privilege of leading you in these prayers and showing you and teaching you just a little bit more about Scripture, about tradition, about our Catholic Divine Office prayers. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to begin, and we'll treat this primarily like an ordinary day. We will not probably celebrate. Maybe we will have a prayer at the end for St. Catherine of Alexandria, but mostly just the regular reading from Scripture and tradition for this office of readings. Let us begin with the invitatory. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. And I just want to say that to me, the office of readings really is an amazing spiritual sustenance. It really feeds me spiritually. Sometimes I even feel like there are weeks, and this won't always be the case, but there have been weeks where I look back and say, why didn't I pay more attention and put into practice what I was reading in the second reading? It would have caused me so to be free from so much pain that happened this week. So there are times where I actually get spiritual direction through the preaching of the saints, through the second readings. And of course, think how much Scripture you're getting to reflect upon if you speak the Word of God out loud during this time. You're going through multiple books of the epistles, of the letters of the New Testament, so many Old Testament passages and books. But more to the point, let us look at our invitatory. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving, and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn, as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, let us begin the psalmody, the collection of psalms that we've arranged to be prayed in light of our own lives, our own experiences, and with their antiphons. Show me your mercy, Lord, and keep me safe. Let us pray Psalm 6. Lord, do not reprove me in your anger. Punish me not in your rage. Have mercy on me, Lord. I have no strength. Lord, heal me. My body is racked. My soul is racked with pain. Show me your mercy, Lord, and keep me safe. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, Lord. Rescue my soul. Save me in your merciful love, for in death no one remembers you. From the grave, who can give you praise? Show me your mercy, Lord, and keep me safe. I am exhausted with my groaning. Every night I drench my pillow with tears. I bedew my bed with weeping. My eye wastes away with grief. I have grown old, surrounded by my foes. Show me your mercy, Lord, and keep me safe. Leave me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will accept my prayer. all my foes will retire in confusion, foiled and utterly and suddenly confounded. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, as we pray this psalm in light of the psalmist's experiences of desperation, we know there are many, many desperate people in families, in schools, in universities, in persecuted countries who can resonate with this, and we pray for them now that you will help them through Christ our Lord. Amen. Show me your mercy, Lord, and keep me safe. Now let us pray the second one, Psalm 9, part of Psalm 9. The poor are not alone in their distress. God is here to help them, is Antiphon 2. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will recount all your wonders. I will rejoice in you and be glad, and sing psalms to your name, O Most High. The poor are not alone in their distress. God is here to help them. See how my enemies turn back, how they stumble and perish before you. You upheld the justice of my cause. You sat enthroned, judging with justice. The poor are not alone in their distress. God is here to help them. You have checked the nations, destroyed the wicked. You have wiped out their name forever and ever. The foe is destroyed, eternally ruined. You uprooted their cities. Their memory has perished. The poor are not alone in their distress. God is here to help them. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has set up his throne for judgment. He will judge the world with justice. He will judge the peoples with his truth. The poor are not alone in their distress. God is here to help them. For the oppressed, let the Lord be a stronghold in times of distress. Those who know your name will trust you. You will never forsake those who seek you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The poor are not alone in their distress. God is here to help them. I will be the herald of your praises, Lord, where the people of Zion gather. That's Antiphon 3. Sing psalms to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Proclaim his mighty works among the peoples. For the avenger of blood has remembered them, has not forgotten the cry of the poor. Have pity on me, Lord. See my sufferings. You who saved me from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praise at the gates of the city of Zion and rejoice in your saving help. I will be the herald of your praises, Lord, where the people of Zion gather. The nations have fallen in the pit which they made, their feet caught in the snare they laid. The Lord has revealed himself, has given judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. I will be the herald of your praises, Lord, where the people of Zion gather. Let the wicked go down among the dead, all the nations forgetful of God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor the hopes of the poor be in vain. I will be the herald of your praises, Lord, where the people of Zion gather. Arise, Lord, let men not prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Lord, strike them with terror. Let the nations know they are but men. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord God, when you judge, again, hear us as we cry out for you to have mercy on the poor, and many of us are poor. Bring chaos and havoc to the madness and chaos of oppressors. Help men to see that peace is in their own best interest rather than the pursuit of the weapons of war. Help your church to live more authentically and humbly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the friendship we have with God. Teach us to praise you aright especially throughout all the greatest trials and disappointments that may come our way. Teach us to know that you are still God and you are still good. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will be the herald of your praises, Lord, where the people of Zion deliver us from evil and guide us by your own hand. Give me insight, Lord, to know your will, then I will cherish it with all my heart. And our first reading is for Monday in the 34th week of Ordinary Time. This is from the beginning of the second letter of the Apostle Peter, and it is a very rich passage that I looked at earlier this morning. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have been given a faith like ours in the justifying power of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace be yours and peace in abundance through your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That divine power of His has freely bestowed on us everything necessary for a life of genuine piety. Through knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and power, by virtue of them He has bestowed on us the great and precious things He promised, so that through these you who have fled a world corrupted by lust might become sharers of the divine nature. This is reason enough for you to make every effort to undergird your virtue with faith, your discernment with virtue, and your self-control with discernment. This self-control, in turn, should lead to perseverance, and perseverance to piety, and piety to care for your brother, and care for your brother to love. Qualities like these, made increasingly your own, are by no means ineffectual. They bear fruit in true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Any man who lacks these qualities is short-sighted to the point of blindness. He forgets the cleansing of his long past sins. Be solicitous to make your call and election permanent, brothers. Surely those who do so will never be lost. On the contrary, your entry into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for. The responsory prayer is, Lord, the Lord has called you to His own glory and power, and He has given you all the very great and precious things He has promised, that you might become sharers in the divine nature. All of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, that you might become sharers in the divine nature. So it would be interesting to look back at the Greek scholarly lexicon or translation and see if that faith maybe could be interpreted as faithfulness, and certainly would be interesting. One of the only places where virtue would be in chronological first place, coming before this process of development, with faith coming in second. And it ultimately culminates in love. But what a beautiful reading. Again, a lot of what we're aiming at is to become partakers of divine nature, which is why they picked that, to become like God, not by replacing God, but by being remade in the image of Christ. And our second reading is from a sermon by St. Leo the Great. He was a great pope in the 400s AD, presided over a lot of the doctrinal accomplishments of the Council of Chalcedon, and he's going to give us our second reading for the tradition of the Church today. And it's a spiritual one. Each man's profit matches his toil. The Lord says, unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. How indeed can justice exceed unless compassion rises above judgment? What is as right or as worthy as a creature fashioned in the image and likeness of God, imitating his Creator, who by the remission of sins brought about the reparation and sanctification of believers? with strict vengeance removed and the cessation of all punishment, the guilty man was restored to innocence, and the end of wickedness became the beginning of virtue. Can anything be more just than this? This is how Christian justice can exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, not by canceling out the law, but by rejecting earthly wisdom. This is why, in giving his disciples a rule for fasting, the Lord said, "Whenever you fast, do not become sad like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces in order to seem to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. What reward but that of human praise?" Such a desire often puts on a mask of justice, for where there is no concern for conscience, untruthful reputation gives pleasure. The result is that concealed injustice enjoys a false reputation. For the man who loves God, it is sufficient to please the one he loves, and there is no greater recompense to be sought than by the loving itself. For love is from God, by the very fact that God himself is love. The good and chaste soul is so happy to be filled with him that it desires to take delight in nothing else. For what the Lord says is very true. Where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. What is a man's treasure but the heaping up of profits and the fruit of his toil? For whatever a man sows, this too will he reap, and each man's gain matches his toil. And where delight and enjoyment are found, there the heart's desire is attached. Now, there are many kinds of wealth and a variety of grounds for rejoicing. Every man's treasure is that which he desires. If it is based on earthly ambitions, its acquisition makes men not blessed but wretched. But those who enjoy the things that are above and eternal, rather than earthly and perishable, possess an incorruptible hidden store of which the prophet speaks. Our treasure and salvation have come, wisdom and instruction and piety from the Lord. These are the treasures of justice. Through these, with the help of God's grace, even earthly possessions are transformed into heavenly blessings. It is a fact that many people use the wealth which is either rightfully left to them or otherwise acquired as a tool of devotion by distributing what might be superfluous to support the poor. They are amassing imperishable riches so that what they have discreetly given cannot be subject to loss. They have properly placed those riches which where their heart is. It is a most blessed thing to work to increase such riches rather than to fear that they may pass away. Responsory prayer. We must never grow tired of doing good. If we continue to struggle on, we shall reap our harvest in due season. Therefore, while we have the opportunity, we should do good to all men. A man shall reap what he has sown. Therefore, while we have the opportunity, we should do good to all men. Now let us take a look and see if we can find that prayer for St. Catherine of Alexandria. St. Catherine of Alexandria, liturgy.net. St. Catherine, Almighty ever-living God, who gave St. Catherine of Alexandria to your people as a virgin and an invincible martyr, grant that through her intercession we may be strengthened in faith and constancy and spend ourselves without reserve for the unity of the Church. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. So, there's the second reading that was given for St. Catherine of Alexandria. Obviously, the first reading, very, very rich. But I don't feel like giving a catechesis. I don't feel like giving a reflection either right now. So maybe just look up some resources or do some reflection on your own, just praying with that passage and asking what God is asking of you. I'm going to share this sermon from St. Caesarius of Arles, which is proper to Catherine's optional memorial. When the Lord tells us in the Gospel that anyone who wants to be his follower must renounce himself, the injunction seems harsh. We think he is imposing a burden on us, but an order is no burden when it is given by one who helps in carrying it out. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. To what place are we to follow Christ, if not where he has already gone? We know that he has risen and ascended into heaven. There, then, we must follow him. There is no cause for despair. By ourselves, we can do nothing, but we have Christ's promise. Heaven was beyond our reach before our head ascended there, but now, if we are his members, why should we despair of arriving there ourselves? Is there any reason? True, many fears and afflictions confront us in this world, but if we follow Christ, we shall reach a place of perfect happiness, perfect peace, and everlasting freedom from fear. Yet let me warn anyone bent on following Christ to listen to St. Paul. One who claims to abide in Christ ought to walk as he walked. Would you follow Christ? Then be humble as he was humble. Do not scorn his lowliness if you want to reach his exaltation. Human sin made the road rough, but Christ's resurrection leveled it. By passing over it himself, he transformed the narrowest tracks into a royal highway. 2 feet are needed to run alongside this highway. They are humility and charity. Everyone wants to get to the top well. The first step to take is humility. Why take strides that are too big for you? Do you want to fall instead of going up? Begin with the first step, humility, and you will already be climbing. As well as telling us to renounce ourselves, our Lord and Savior said that we must take up our crosses and follow him. What does it mean to take up one's cross? Bearing annoyances patiently. That is following Christ. When someone begins to follow his way of life and his commands, that person will meet resistance on every side. He or she will be opposed, mocked, even persecuted. And this is not only by unbelievers, but also by people who, to all appearances, belong to the body of Christ, though they are really excluded from it by their wickedness. People who, being Christians only in name, never stop persecuting true Christians. These are among the members of Christ, like evil humors in the body. If you want to follow Christ, then take up his cross without delay. Put up with evil ones. Do not be overcome by them. If you want to follow Christ, then take up his cross without delay. Endure injuries. Do not be overcome by them. If you would fulfill the Lord's command, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. We must strive with God's help to do as the apostle says. As long as we have food and clothing, let this content us. Otherwise, if we seek more material goods than we need and desire to become rich, we may fall prey to temptation. The devil may trick us into wanting the many useless and harmful things that plunge people into ruin and destruction. May we be free from this temptation through the protection of our Lord. Responsory prayer would have been, her maiden companions will be brought to the King, following her. They will be brought to you with amid gladness and joy. Come forth in your splendor and beauty. Go on in triumph to reign. They will be brought to you amid gladness and joy. So again, there's many things to reflect upon in this first reading from Peter's epistle, or homily. I suppose many scholars say it's also a homily. Remember to ask for a partial or plenary indulgence and to pray for the deceased souls of our priests and religious in purgatory, please, and continue to support this divine office ministry and pray for me and my formation and my work here.